Hello, everybody, and welcome to Kingdom Faith Worship Podcast with Pete Norman.
Hello.
Toby Urquhart.
Hi.
It's been slow today.
He's via satellite.
And Fraser Newman.
Hello.
Hello. So we've got an extra special worship podcast for you today, talking about the character of a worshipper.
Ooh.
But I think before we talk about the character of a worshipper, we need to find out a little something about our panel. So, Fraser,
yes.
could you tell us what's... I know you've got a lot of brothers and sisters, haven't you?
I do.
What's the meanest thing? Obviously, we're talking about character today. What's the meanest thing you've ever done to one of your siblings?
Oh, wow. I'd like to think of myself as the responsible one, because I'm the oldest of five. Having said that, I've probably
just remember that we know you, so
yeah,
we're all sat here and we know you.
the meanest thing. We used to, the second youngest, Timmy.
No names, please. No names. Timmy.
me and my brother Niall used to lock him outside in the winter. And we used to take his clothes off.
This is the responsible oldest one.
Yeah, so he just had his pants on and we used to put him outside and lock the door when he was annoying us.
Oh,
okay, mean and then abusive, you know. I'm not sure quite where that sits on the scale. But yeah, nice. So we'll be asking you about the character of a worshipper later, yeah. Fraser, the person who locks people outside in the winter. Toby, what about you? You have a couple of siblings.
Man, yeah. My younger sister... Megan, she, I don't know how it came about, but when she was born, there was somehow a birth certificate that said Millie Billy Urquhart, and I found it once, and from then on just decided to call her Billy. Whenever she would, like, annoy me, I'd just call her Billy, and it would really annoy her, and it'd been ongoing for quite a few years, but yeah, I guess that's quite a main thing to...
Did you manage to convince her that was in fact her real name?
No, but I think she just hated the fact that it was a boy's name, and I just...
That'd be fantastic if you found a birth certificate with that on. Go, this is your actual name. We've been calling you Megan. It's wrong. Your actual name is Billy.
Yeah, sir.
Pete, what about yourself? Ever done anything mean to your brother?
No, never.
Never.
Or maybe. Well, I'm the youngest of four.
Get away with
so
a lot
by
more.
Quite a long way. So I think I was mollycoddled a little bit, and then. But I tell you what, though, you know, much forgiveness needed to my older sister, who was given the job of feeding me when I was a baby, and she confessed years later that she used to steal my orange pudding.
What?
Can you believe that? I've moved on.
It's
okay. I've had counselling.
Yeah.
And deep breaths.
So it's probably because that's why you're stick thin today. Deprived of all those orange puddings.
No, I've made up for it since. But to be fair, but Anita, I forgive you.
Yeah, sorry, my brother Russ. When you were younger, my younger brother, and we'd have fights, but because I was bigger and heavier, I could just sit on your head and until you calmed down, which took a lot longer because I was sat on your head. Sorry. So today we're talking about the character of a worshipper. So now we found out that actually all of us are in fact human beings. We're not perfect and that we have done mean things to our siblings. So we're not coming at this from some super spiritual point of view. What should the character be of a worshipper? Now, I don't want to just talk about in a general sense, because I think we probably all know what a worshipper should be in terms of character. But I mean in the context of a worship leader or a musician, you're playing in a band, you're up there on a Sunday on the stage. I know particularly the reason I thought we'd ask the question today with these panellists is Toby and Fraser both play in the Move Band, lead worship at Faith
What's
Camp.
The Move Band?
And the Move Band is the youth band at Faith Camp, and they have hundreds, maybe even thousands of people screaming, adoring fans. Of course, they're actually adoring Jesus. But I imagine it could be an easy thing to fall into that trap of, oh, yeah, I'm a rock star. Everyone loves me, you know. But I know that neither of you guys have that heart at all. You're some of the most humble and men of integrity men that I know. Integritists. You're some of the men of most integralness that I know. And so let me start with you guys. In that context, as a worship leader, as a musician, how do you stay humble? What should your character be?
I think ultimately it's the heart that you first come to do worship with. You can be a singer, or you can learn guitar, or piano, or whatever instrument it is. But if first your heart to do that is to be seen, I guess from then on, once you are seen, it's going to be a big struggle for you, because that was your motive in the first place. And I guess I think for me and Fraser, we just purely love music and enjoyed singing, writing, worshipping together. I think for us individually, we...
I'm sorry, Pete Norman right now, while Toby's talking about something really important, is popping bubble wrap. Put it down. Yeah, so I'd just like to say that, you know, when you're worshipping, it's not helpful.
Challenge to his character. I was
just see if he lost it. Yeah, people have it over the years. They've said that maybe they think that the call on my life is to is, you know, to help people grow in their grace. I don't know what they mean.
I think it means you're annoying.
Oh, fine. Toby, anyway, sorry, back to you. Sorry, the interruption.
Sorry about that.
Turn your mic off, Pete.
Yeah, I think it's, you just got to check where your motives are at, first off, I think. Because if...
Can I ask a really... I mean, this is a really personal question, but have you ever struggled with that? Have you found that you had to consciously make that decision that I recognise that actually there's some pride in this right now, or I'm enjoying the attention or whatever, where you've made that decision to change something?
I think with worship, genuinely no, because I always find that my worship is not for... Even though I'm trying to include everyone that is in the congregation, it's not for them at all. It's just for God. So in terms of worship, I would say no. When me and Fraser, if we play at like a wedding or anything like that, I really enjoy performing for people then. Even though my character isn't outgoing,
yeah,
and I'm like loud in front of people, I enjoy like playing for people then. But yeah, just in worship, I don't know, just always the focus has to be God. Otherwise, immediately I just feel like I'm doing this for my own purpose. But
Pete, could I ask you the same question? Have you ever personally struggled with that, of having to make a decision that I need to make sure I'm giving this to God and not taking any glory for myself?
I think I would probably honestly say it's the same as Toby in worship. No, I don't think I have really. I think we've had such good teaching here and such a good grounding in God. I mean, your foundation has to be Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, your firm foundation is Jesus. You've got your roots going deep into God. And you know that it's... I mean, I know personally, even, you know, there's an anointing on me to worship, but I know there's a corporate anointing on the church that is way beyond anything that's on me.
Yeah.
And so I know that the anointing comes from the top, and we've said this before in podcasts, but the anointing comes from Pastor Colin, Pastor Clive, and because they're worshippers and they're rooted, you know, in God, and because of their character and their relationship with God, that comes down. The anointing comes down to you, and the teaching comes down also. And there's an anointing in this place that I know if I went somewhere else outside of God's will, because I know I'm meant to be here, I wouldn't have an anointing to do what I do now. Yeah. And so I know it's not me.
Yeah, He
equips those he calls. And so I know apart from him, I can do nothing. But on the flip side, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hmm. Yeah. Fraser, would you say the same? Have you ever struggled with that yourself?
I would just echo what these guys have said. And also that I think to be in our church and to do worship, if you have the wrong attitude, it is very quickly obvious because of the culture that there is here to worship and the humility that there is on our worship team.
Yeah.
Like, Pete often says that we're so blessed in our worship team with such a humble attitude that people have, you know, and not having these rock stars, you know.
Yeah, the words he said is that we haven't got any egos in the worship team.
And I think that's so good. And there's a, I think it's a proverb that says, your character keeps you where your gift gets you to, if that makes sense, or along the lines of that. And I think that's so important. And
if it's not a proverb, it should be.
It should be, yeah.
You could write that one in.
I think that's so important that someone could be so gifted, but that if they don't have the attitude that wants to worship God, then if you're not teachable, you can't learn anything else, and you just stay at a level. And I think actually you stop, in a way, people from encountering God in the same way, because that then has an effect on the team and et cetera. It turns into this snowball effect.
Yeah.
And, you know, going back to talking about the Move Band, which is something that me and Toby have done, you know, for a few years together, and this year Toby moved on to be in the main event, and I was in the Move still. We've really tried to create this culture since we came into the Move Band of it's one worship team, and that we're all worshiping God together, and we really believe in that. And you know, I noticed because it's with young people, and music is such an important part of young people's lives. I noticed when we first came into the Move that they were looking at us like we were like somehow above the rest of the team in the Move.
Right, yeah.
So over the last few years, we've really tried to create a culture of the worship team is just another part of the Move team and the bigger worship team, that we're nothing special at all. And that all we want to do is worship God. And, you know, I think now, you know, I think it was 5 years ago since I first started there, but now we've really set that culture and that standard. And so anyone coming into the Move Band, we make sure that they understand that now, so that together all that we want to do is worship God. And then you don't have all these things that kick off of egos getting hurt and people falling out with each other. And, you know, we have this really great culture of we just want young people to encounter God, and that's something that is again from you know the leadership in the church, Pastor Colin and Pastor Clive, but then also from Pete's leadership in the worship team, that we then want to mimic as well.
So, can I ask? You've talked about setting a culture within your band, and also about how if there is some pride or arrogance there, maybe it can distract from worship. I kind of got two questions for you. First is, do you think it's possible to lead worship and to help people engage with God if there's that character flaw, if you're seeking the glory for yourself? And secondly, how, if we've got maybe some worship leaders listening to this and they know that there are some character issues, either in themselves or maybe other members of the worship team or the band, how can they help develop that culture and address some of those issues in people without, obviously, we don't want to tear people down and kick them to the curb and just completely say, well, sorry, there's a pride issue there, never join us again. But how do we develop that culture coming from a place of not everyone's perfect?
Yeah, I think the way in which I personally lead worship is probably is different from the way these other two guys lead worship, in that these guys are much better at singing than me. So the way that I often lead worship in our youth context or at Faith Camp at the Move is I will often have a microphone and spit and be speaking in between the songs and explaining the songs and leading people in that way through the word and things like that.
There's probably also a massive element that you lead, obviously, through your lifestyle and the way that you are, but even just the way that you worship yourself when you're on the stage, not just through a mic, but through your worship yourself personally.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what I was going to say, that it's all about a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. It's not about songs or about music even. It's about worship is us giving God what he's worth, and your life is your testimony. And I think people, especially young people I've seen working with them, young people will spot a fake from a mile away.
Right,
and
yeah,
your heart is what people look at. And if your heart is to encounter God and for them to encounter God, people respond to that. And young people respond to passion. So if it's a passion to do wrong things, you can lead people in the totally wrong direction. If it's a passion to worship God, you can then lead people to do that. So I think it's all about the heart. And we can talk about, you know, how do you change people's attitudes or help people meet with God or sort out problems within a band. And I think the key is to just have a heart after worship and to lead by example. And that's what people respond to.
Right. Fantastic. I know when I came to the Bible College in 2006 here, and I played guitar and I auditioned to join the worship team, I knew that there was an element in my heart of, I need to be careful that I don't do this for my own sake, my own gain, or like, yeah, I want to be up there, everyone, look how good a guitarist I am. The fact that I wasn't particularly good either was neither here nor there. You know, there's that heart of, I need to make sure that I'm doing this solely for the Father and not for any of my own gain or any benefit. So I said to God, I was praying about it, and I said, Father, I'm going to audition, but I'm not in any way, I don't want to plug myself. I don't want to request a single opportunity to play. I'm not going to say, put me on the rota. I'm never going to say, oh, I'll be up for doing that or anything. And this might not be right for everyone, but for me, I felt that was the right thing to do. And so I said, you know, Father, I just want to put it in your hands. I completely surrender this to you. And if you want me to have an opportunity, you open the door, because I don't want to do this for myself, only if that's what you're saying to do. And by, I think by the start of my second year, I was the most rotated musician in the church, in that I was playing every single day, all the 8 o'clocks and all that kind of things. And I don't think, I was certainly nowhere near the best musician or the most anointed or anything like that. But I think it because I'd laid it down and God was speaking to me about that, having that uprooted in my heart, I got to a point, and there was some correction brought and there was some peace. You know, if I know, I don't think I'm in that place at all now, hopefully, praise God. But that if there was anything...
I can't even remember if you ever were.
I know that if there was anything that I was doing that Pete, or in fact these guys even, you know, would bring me up on it. And I think that's a real key, isn't it? In again, we talked about this with songwriting, is if someone corrects you, you spit your dummy out and you just kick over your toy basket and you run out of the room...
Well, that's, there's another proverb, isn't there, which I'll get wrong, but I'll paraphrase it. It's like a rebuke to a discerning ear is sweet as honey or something like that. It's basically, yeah. You know, if you're discerning...
A slap from a friend is better than flattering words from a fool.
It is something, yeah, exactly. And yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference, though, in character. None of us are perfect, as you've just said, but there's a big difference between just having working through a few things... And then being up there, up on a platform for your own gain and for your own glory, I think that's unacceptable.
Yeah.
For me, doing the rota and choosing who plays where and stuff like that, I will take a chance with ability, musical ability, gifting, but not with character.
Mm. Right. How can you, for any worship leaders out there who have this problem, of course we know that, you know, the devil himself, Lucifer, was in charge of worship in heaven, and it was actually pride that caused his fall, and a lot of the problems we have today actually came from the pride of a worship leader.
That's right.
We know that most church splits happen statistically, it's a worship
leader. Over 90%.
It's through the
worship
team. Is it that high?
It's over 90%. I heard years ago, the statistic, over 90% of church.
Because you're in that position of leadership, you're in a position of influence.
Well, we know, if you know musicians, I mean, not here, thank the Lord, but, most musicians you meet, they're temperamental, egos.
Musicians' pride,
you know, they're a bunch of tarts. Just slap, you know what I mean? I mean, that's what musicians are like. They're all precious and, you know, they're really sensitive and all that. So we shouldn't have to be treading on eggshells, you know, around people like that. That's not right. That's pride.
Mm. How?
You know, and we don't want that.
There's
a difference between not being perfect and then pride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to discern, all right, okay, we're not putting that person on the platform because...
How would you address that? If I was in your worship, well, I am in your worship team, but hypothetically, I was in your worship team, and musically I was great, I knew all the songs, I was ready to go, I've got all the skills, but you recognised in me that I wasn't submitted, or that I was really, I liked the attention or whatever it might be, you just discerned it wasn't right. How might you go about addressing that in me? And I say, why aren't I being rotated this Sunday? You know, I know all the songs, I've practiced, why aren't I down?
I'd talk to you, wouldn't I? I'd talk to you one-to-one.
Take a brother aside in love, kind of.
Yeah. Speak the truth in love. Mm.
Would you ever go, oh, I'm really short on a guitarist. Fine, yeah, I'll just rotate you.
No, because you don't actually need any musicians at all. So if you haven't got any musicians, or you've got if you've got 40 musicians who are all massive egos and full of pride, well, you haven't got any musicians, so don't have a band. You don't need a band. You can worship without a band.
So could we perhaps say, if you're a worship leader listening to this, and you recognise there are some issues in the band. Maybe you've let things slide before, or you've just been in the position of, I need this drummer, so I'll use them anyway. To maybe reapproach things, I guess, speak to your leadership and say, can Absolutely. We have a time where we have no band, where we just learn to refocus our worship?
Yeah. Well, we did that here. I say we. I wasn't here at the time, although we have redone it since once or twice. But Pastor Colin, it was here years ago, and the worship was good here. But as a phrase we have here, you know, the good is the enemy of the best. And God pulled up Pastor Colin and said, "Your worship needs to be deeper." And as you know, Pastor Colin got over the offence of God saying that to him, and basically, you know, God. I'm paraphrasing here, but God spoke to Pastor Colin about just deconstructing the worship, basically, of like, right, we're not having any band, you're not having any worship leaders. You're going to learn how to meet with God properly from the ground up, and for you know a number of weeks there were no musicians at all, and they all had to get over the offence of that. Until they learned how to worship properly, which is how he would say in the book True Worship, Colin Urquhart, great book, plug, Revelation Worship. So how basically worship in spirit and in truth, like John 4, yeah. Said, worship in spirit and in truth. Now in heaven, we get a glimpse of heaven in Revelation, and in Revelation there's only spirit, there's no flesh. And there's no lies, there's only truth. So that's a real model of how we worship. So you look at the songs in Revelation, and they're all focused on him, not on ourselves or our feelings. They're focused on him. You know, the elders fell down on their faces and worshipped him, saying, praise, honour, glory and power be to you, our God, forever and ever. And all these songs of worship are amazing. Amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks be to you, our God. It's focused on the King. And King of Kings.
And so when the worship team came back together, what was the effect?
They came back in and it was like, boom. You know, they could then, instead of leading the worship, they could accompany what was already going on in heaven. And we were joining. When we come to worship, we join with heaven. There's worship going on 24/7 in heaven. And we join with heaven. And the band supports that. Now, there's an element of having to lead people into God's presence and all that. And we know that. But it's more about accompanying what's already going on in heaven.
Yeah, I'd say I've never heard it put quite like that before, and I love that, that if we're called to be worshippers in spirit and truth, that Fraser mentioned earlier, John 4, and in Revelation or in heaven, there is no flesh and there is no falsehood, there is only spirit and truth.
Yeah.
What That's a perfect reflection. That's yeah, of what
and
we
also,
should be
there's an
doing.
Example there of John, who was, there's a intimacy and awe, the two things that come to mind, and when John... At the Last Supper, John was so familiar with Jesus, he rested his head on Jesus' chest.
Yeah.
So familiar, intimate, you know, such a friendship. Yet with the same man, when he had a vision of Jesus in heaven in his glory, fell down as if he was dead.
Yeah.
There's that. We, you know, we're not worshipping Jesus as a man anymore. We're worshipping him as the awesome,
glorified,
glorified King of Kings.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, guys, if you're listening to this, there's your spirit's doing as much in you as it is in me. Just, I want to worship now. Yeah. Just talking about Jesus as the glorified, risen King. Oh, makes me want to worship. So we'll leave you today with this challenge. If you're a worship leader, what is more important, filling a rota or addressing the character of the guys in your worship team? And is that something you could address with your leaders and say, right, let's go back to basics. Let's learn to worship without musicians and become worshippers first and a band second. And if you're a worshipper yourself and you're in a worship team and you know that there's something in your heart that's there's a bit of pride or whatever, you know, you're in there, there's a bit of it for you, then would you consider going and just repenting of that to whoever your worship leader is, your pastor or whatever, and maybe even consider laying down your instrument for a while and just saying, I want to relearn, refocus my heart. I just want to be a worshipper first and a musician second. And God forgive me for anything that's not been that towards you.
Yeah, that's really good, mate.
Well, thank you once again to Fraser Newman, Toby Urquhart, Pete Norman, and myself, Colin Squires. And thank you guys for joining us today on our worship podcast. If you want to comment or write any questions, you can get us at
pete.norman@kingdomfaith.com
and colin.squires@kingdomfaith.com. I nearly said at petenorman.com, but that's not the right address. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Ta-ra.